the message was only three short lines, but it had done more to incapacitate Luke than any of the wounds he had suffered fighting Abeloth. He had trusted Vestara. He'd even been the one to persuade the other masters she would be a valuable asset inside the temple during the battle against the Sith. He could not have been more wrong. His mistake had cost Basil Warv his life. And assuming he was correctly interpreting Corrin's conspicuous use of the word target, nearly gotten Alana killed. Now, after 3 days of meditation, he continued to find himself mired in doubt, wondering what else he might be wrong about, and reluctant to trust his own judgment. And he was running out of time. The Rude Awakening, a sleek little pinnace infiltrator manufactured for the Space Marines' elite void jumper units, was already approaching the choke point where Sinkhole Station had once hung suspended in a binary black hole system. Luke could see the accretion whorls of the two black holes with his naked eye, a pair of fire-rimmed disks centered in the forward viewport. And he could feel Ben ahead, on Abeloth's hidden planet, reaching out to him in the Force, urging him to hurry. And still, Luke didn't know what to do. Whether he was following the will of the Force by following Ben, or defying it. The histories of Thurut had convinced him and the rest of the Jedi Council that the galaxy went through a regular cycle of destruction and renewal, and that Abeloth, as mad and deadly as she was, played a crucial role in that cycle. But the cycle had been disrupted by the death of the Ones, and without the son and the daughter, there was no one capable of ending Abeloth's chaos and supervising Thurut's construction of a new prison. Unless the Jedi could stop her themselves, and that seemed to Luke a very big if indeed, she would go on sowing disorder and chaos until civilization itself vanished from the galaxy. "My little advice from the junior master on the council?" Jaina asked from the other side of the cockpit. Even smaller than her mother, she looked almost childlike sitting in a pilot's seat designed for a 2-meter void jumper in full combat armor.
"Not that I want to rush your planning or anything, but a mind divided against itself cannot win."
Luke cocked a brow.
"You interrupted my meditation to quote a training aphorism that the Banthas learn in their second week?"
"Yes," Jaina said. "That, and we're about to get jumped."
"You've sensed ship?"
"Not yet," Jaina replied. "But we're entering a choke point, and it's where I would mount an ambush."
Luke nodded.
"And Abeloth is trying to draw us in," he said. "Ben has been reaching out to me, trying to let me know their situation is desperate."
Jaina shoved the throttles to their overload stops.
"And you didn't tell the pilot?"
"You're not the only one expecting an ambush."
Luke started to tell her to pull the throttles back. Then he decided Jaina was as aware of ship as he was, and that it was better to let her fly her own vessel. And then he almost decided to tell her to slow down anyway, so they could develop a plan. That was the trouble with being so emotionally involved in a mission. It made you indecisive, clouded your thinking.
He wanted nothing more than to rush to Ben's side and rescue him. It was killing him not to do it.
But he knew just how foolish that course of action would be. Abeloth was baiting him, trying to make him race in unprepared, because that was the surest way to a kill. Then, too, there was the other thing. The thing that had been consuming Luke's thoughts since departing Coruscant.
"And I'm still trying to decide whether we're doing the right thing,"